I tell you what, Jesus is enough. I guess you guys have noticed that. I love the worship this morning and what we're about to do. And there is. We go through seasons of life, like Daniel said. And I know you guys, some of you don't know Pat's brother, Nicole and Josh's uncle, Marsha's brother-in-law, passed away. And this week, Mike Davis, and he's a part of our body, and it's sad. It was unexpected, and Pat, well done. You were able to. I mean, I was encouraged about giving for missions, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and so I appreciate what you had to say. It helps. It helps to know. But you guys be praying for Mike's family and for the plans, and then we have other, you know, it's like it is a crazy thing. Josh is here. Josh Davis right there with the baseball hat on. One of the guys with the baseball hat. Josh twisted his ankle really bad last Wednesday night. He was foolish. He was out playing basketball. Like, not foolish. Did I say that? I didn't mean that, Josh. I meant. But he was out playing basketball, right? And they had to, you know, bring him in. His ankle's swelling, and it's like in extreme pain. And I don't know who all prayed for you, Josh, but yeah, several people prayed for him. And the next morning, what did you find out?
Thursday, they told me I wouldn't walk for 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm here.
Yeah, come on. So he got healed. Isn't that crazy? It's like, I mean, it's just an ankle, which is not a big deal unless it's your ankle, right? What do you do when you when things happen? This is Easter month, and so we're going to talk about Easter the rest of the month, because Easter is like the biggest event, the resurrection, the incarnation. And we're going to talk about Easter because I believe it's important. And, you know, last week, I love what I was beginning to think through and talk about, and I stole this idea: direction, not intention, determines your destination or the outcome of your life. And I talked about that last week, and you can listen to it online if you want to. And it really is true. You see, we live in a world where we think our intention is what everybody should see, when in reality, what you do, who, and actually what I brought up last week is absolutely true. Who you follow will determine the outcome of your life. 100%. And it's unavoidable and unmistakable. It's like there's very little chance that I'm going to run a marathon in 2025, because I'm not going to work out and start running, getting ready. And so I'm not going to do what I need to do to reach that goal in my life. I'm not doing it. So I'm not going to run a marathon. But the truth is, your direction leads where you go, not what you intend. And I tell you, there's a beautiful freedom in that. You know, the truth is, we're not victims. You see, we're raised in a culture, and if some of you are in the school system, you understand. We are in all kinds of, you know, if you're in the police force, whatever, you understand that we live in a culture that wants to play the victim all the time. Well, I'm not responsible for my behavior. It's those people, right? I'm not responsible for what I'm doing. It's them. I'm not responsible for my life. That's not true. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection set us free. We determine the outcome of our lives, not anybody else. And so when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, I'm glad Easter's here, because I'm just thinking about the reality. What led up to the point where Jesus could be in the position, the place in his life, that he could be raised from the dead, which is what we celebrate on Easter? Around the world for thousands of years, we've celebrated his resurrection. It's more proven, there's more evidence, there's more facts about his resurrection than facts that actually Julius Caesar existed. You see, it's true. The world knows. Even people who hate him know that he did raise from the dead. And so, what happened with Easter? And I just want to make some points this morning and get you thinking about this, okay? Because I think it really matters. There is a battlefield of the mind. There was used to be a really popular book about that. That's where the battle is going on. What you feel like today is determined by what's going on in your mind. how you address things. The fact that Pat was able to stand up here and talk very fluently and eloquently about missions and giving to missions when he just lost his brother this week. That was God. It was Pat, but it was God's power and his strength inside of him that allowed him to be to do that and to communicate with us that way. You see, you and I, we live in a world where we need power. We need supernatural strength to live in this world. So what happened? Easter is coming. I want us to be ready for the resurrection. And I believe that the same as Jesus rose from the dead, that we rise with him. And what do we need to do to experience the power of God in our lives the way Jesus experienced the power of God in his life when he became the light of the world? So first thing is this, new for old. We sang that song. The first song we sang today is interesting, new for old. New for old. You see, the old, when you look at the old and you look at what Jesus did, the old way of living before Jesus rose from the dead was man was separation from God. The old way of thinking was that we were separate from God. And you know, the truth is, when you look at the creation story, Adam and Eve, when they were deceived by Satan, what happened? God didn't separate from them. They ran and hid from God. You see, the old way says man and God can't be together. The Jewish religion, they wouldn't even say the name of God. They talked about his attributes. They talked about things about him. But for Jesus to stand up in his society and say, I'm the Son of God, they stoned him for that. They wanted to. They killed him for saying he was God's Son because God is so separate from man, you can't even look at him. You have to grovel and beg, and he's going to... See, that was the old way of seeing God. And then Jesus came and said, listen, guys, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, what happened was the old was the new. You know what happened with the new? We sang a little about this today, and we're going to look at it in a few weeks on Easter morning. But you know what Jesus did? He tore the veil. You see, in the Jewish religion, the temple, you had the Holy of Holies and you had the holy place. There were several layers of holiness, and then there was a thick veil, 9 inches thick fabric veil that only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, and that was a blood sacrifice. And they even tied a rope to his legs so they could pull him out, because if he had any sin in his life, God would have killed him on the spot. And nobody else could go in there. Once a year you could go into God's presence, one person representing the deal. And when Jesus died on the cross, you know what happened? You remember that? This huge, thick veil that separated humanity from the presence of God ripped in half. When Jesus was on the cross, you know what they did? They split his skin open. They stuck a spear in his side so that you and I could come into him and we could be born again. You see, the old way was man separate from God. The new way is Jesus was a shepherd who lost a sheep and came looking for it. The new way is Jesus came to earth. He came to earth to have us, looking for us. We weren't looking for him. Any desire you have to know God comes from God. Any desire. It's a gift from him. It's not in us. So it's old is like that. The new is Jesus making us his tabernacle. In the old way of life, you went to the tabernacle and you stayed outside and you other people represented you to God, and you never came into his presence. In the new way, Jesus said that we're his tabernacle. We're the body. We're the dwelling place of God. You see, the new's better. The old was being alone and separate. I look at this. You know, the old way was based on guilt and shame and on judgment. That was the old way. That's what Adam and Eve thought when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instantly, they became ashamed of who they were. The old way said you were bad, and Jesus said you're worth his life, that you're the most precious gift he's ever had. You see, the old way was a lifetime. It, you know, Jesus now, you know what he's doing? He's setting us free from the lies we believe and the bondage that puts us in. We just sang. When you sing a song and it says Redeemer, that literally means someone who sets a slave free from captivity by paying a high price for that person. That's who you are to Jesus. The old way says you're worthless. The new way says that you're worth everything, the life of God's Son. You see, the old way was a lifetime of striving. You know, I wrote this down. The old way, we spend our entire lives trying to be like God, but never quite getting there. We tried and we strived and we stressed. The new way is God coming for us. God looking for you and me. The new way is Jesus said, guys, listen, there's this shepherd. He has 100 sheep. And who's the good shepherd? We know. It's him. It's our Savior. And what does a shepherd do when one of the sheep gets lost? He leaves 99 and he goes and looks for the one. You see, that's who Jesus is now. And the old way was us trying to find him. And we were told we had to find him and hunt for him and try to get close and be like him. But the new way says we're not trying to be like him anymore. Now it's God with us. You see, the old way was religion, which is rules and regulations and things you do to either appease God or to make him happy with you. You see, that's not relationship. The new way is relationship. Like everyone in this room, if you're breathing, you can do this. It's like you qualify. The first thing that happened to Jesus when he came to earth, right, was he was born. That was his first qualification for the power of the resurrection in his life. Has anybody in this room not been born yet? We were born, physically born. We all came to earth the same way Jesus came. You see, he had to be born a human, just like us. He did that so he could be one with us. You know, the old way, I like this. In the old way of being, we were a victim to circumstances, others, and ourselves. In the new way that Jesus teaches and talks about and showed us how to live, we're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. We're here with a purpose and a plan and a destiny. The old way was, and here's the truth about it, okay? Jesus was God's declaration, right? It was God's declaration of his love for you. What did God say about you? What did he do to show the world that he loved you? His son came to earth and was born a man and lived on earth the same way you and I live and went through every trial, every struggle, every temptation any of us have ever been through. He came and lived as a man. Jesus was God's declaration of love. It was. And you know, it's interesting, I think about that in speaking and trying to communicate, what's a declaration? Well, it's words, right? And what was Jesus called? The Word of God. He was the Word. You see, Jesus really is. You want to know how much God loves you? He loves you. When you look at Jesus, you see how much he loves you. You see his value and worth of you. You see who you really are when you look at his son. Because here's the truth. In the beginning, John 1:4, 1:1, right? You guys know this verse. I look at it pretty often. In the beginning was the Word. And this is the Word that declares your worth, declares your value, your identity, your purpose, your destiny. At the beginning was the Word, God's declaration. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit are one. Three distinct beings, one. That's way above our pay grade, okay? Can't explain that, but it's true. And he was with God when? In the beginning, before anything ever happened. The Word was with God. God's declaration of his love for us was with him before he ever created anything in the cosmos. And he was, through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You know, I love that saying. I used it last week, and I just love it. Living your best life. Now, I know a connotation of that is usually has to do with alcohol and beaches or boats or football games or something. That's not the best life. That is not the best life. There's no strength in that. There's no joy in that. There's no supernatural energy that will get you through life and make you prosper. You know what? Where life really comes from? It comes from Jesus. You want to live your best life? Live a life following him. That's your best life, and you'll experience a supernatural life that takes you above being a victim to your boss or your neighbor or your spouse or your government or the economy or what clothes you're wearing or not wearing. You're no longer going to be a victim to your own body, to your own mind, to your own limitations. When you follow him, you aren't a victim anymore. Your life comes from a supernatural source that is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the God of all gods and the light of the world. And you know what? He loves you. That's who you are. And so I love that. I love the way we talk about that. When did God begin? When did Jesus begin? Well, before time. Before anything. Well, guess what? The Bible says he was crucified before the foundation of the world. He was in the thought of God. The intention of God was always for Jesus to come. For one purpose, so we could become God's sons and daughters. So I love this next verse. This is a good verse. For those God foreknew, and you can read the whole book of Romans, but you search the scripture for who you are. I say that pretty often. I mean it. Read the Bible. Search the scripture. Search the heavens. Search everywhere. And what you'll find is who God says you are. Not who you say you are, not who I say you are. Find out who he says you are. And this is what God says about you. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, when Romans is talking about, you know God knew you before you were born? That you weren't your mother, your daddy's will, or a wild night in the park or something. You actually were in the mind and heart of God just the same way that Jesus was in his mind before anything was born. And he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, you do have the same. Jesus had a destiny before he came to earth. He had a purpose. No one could knock him off that either, right? If y'all remember the scriptures, he couldn't be knocked off of it. You couldn't talk him out of it. Do you know that every one of us has the same purpose? And then he says right here in Romans 8, he was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Literally what that says is born from the same womb. You see, the truth is we're all like that. Like your brother Jesus. And you know, that's sort of hard for us to say. I know a lot of us are old Baptists, which we believe the Bible, right? But it's still hard for us to believe the Bible. The Bible, what that literally says in Greek is, you and Jesus were born of the same womb long before you were born here on this earth. God had you in his mind. You were in his heart. He saw you, and you're born of the same womb as him. And just like him, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you, just like he had a plan for his son. And Jesus, you know how Jesus discovered God's plan for his life? He read the scriptures of his day. He said yes to everything God said. You see, and the truth is for us too. You know, we have the same journey. We have the same journey Jesus had. He was born a baby, just like every one of us. I mean, I know some of you guys think Harvey was born old. He wasn't. He was a kid once. He milked cows, right? Jesus was born. Do you know, Jesus said yes to this. He said, God, I say yes. There's something about the plan of God that from Jesus, from before he was born until the day he died on the cross, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. Every part of that was important. And Jesus said yes to it. You know, I think you and I have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with saying yes to God. Some of us weren't born in families that are real pleasant. Some of us weren't born with financial situations that's advantageous. Some of us weren't born with perfect physical health and mental health and all that stuff, right? Some of you guys are just different, special, right? You know, some of you have big feet, some of you have small feet. It's just, you're just different. Some of us have eyes that aren't real good. Other people see 20/20. But the truth is, Jesus was born just like us. But you know what Jesus did? He found and he found and he found over and over again. He said yes to his Father. When he was a little boy and he was learning to walk and he fell and he got hurt and he couldn't hold his pencils right and he couldn't feed himself and his mother had to feed him. You know what? Jesus said yes to all of that before he ever came to earth. I think that the only way you're going to walk and me and I can walk with him, to follow him, we have to say yes. We have to say yes. And it takes faith to say yes when things aren't going perfect. It takes faith. But Jesus showed us what happens whenever you do that. When you become that kind of person that says yes, because the truth is, we're not limited to the family we were born in or to the limitations in our body or our mind or our emotions. We aren't limited to that because we have a new family. And we're born of the same family lineage that Jesus Christ is. And as we walk this out, we get to choose over and over again. You know, I love this. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, that means to everyone who chooses to follow him and be in a relationship with Jesus, to every one of those who believed in his name, he gave the right. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You know, we just sang that song, and I'm like, that's a good song. He gave you the right. You know who says that you're born of the same womb as him and that you're a child of God? Not you, it's Jesus. He gave you the right to become children of God. So you can stand up in the streets, on your house, in your kitchen, wherever you're at, next time things are going bad, you can stand up and you can say, I am a son of God. Or a daughter of God. You can do that because you are. And when things get hard and they get tough, remind yourself who you are, who you really are. Remind yourself when you're not as smart as everybody else, or you don't have the same stuff everybody else has, or you struggle, or you hit the same wall over and over. Remind yourself who you are. When Jesus was 30 years old, when he was before he turned 30 and started his public ministry, he went through his dad dying. He went through working like a dog in the heat of the day. They didn't have air conditioning. He went through every hard thing you can go through. He went through rejection, judgment. He was despised in his community because his mother was a loose woman. In his community, that's what they thought. And she should have been stoned and died before Jesus was born, because she got pregnant out of wedlock and everybody in town knew it. That's what Jesus grew up in. But Jesus read the scripture and he listened to the Lord and he listened to his mother and his dad and he listened and he's like, you know what? I think that's me. What I'm reading in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and the Old Testament, that story is about me. When he gets to Isaiah, he's like, oh, that's me. You see, you know where you find out who you really are? You find it in God's Word. You find it in Scripture. You don't find it in the world. Because the world doesn't judge right. The world judges by outward things, and Jesus judges by the value of each of us have. You know what's interesting? So you're not a child born of natural descent. You're not a human's decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's who you really are. If you want to see the power of God rise up inside of you the same way it raised Jesus from the dead, then this is one of those processes we have to go through. Just like growing up, you have to grow up. And it's good. It's good. And by faith, I say it's good. And we suffer loss. Our dads die, our brothers, our sisters. We suffer anxiety. We suffer working hard for a living. We sometimes hit our heads against the wall. And it's all good because we trust Him. And that's a hard thing to say, but when you grow to that point, nothing can knock you off center. Jesus had peace. And we're going to talk about peace, I think, next week, but peace is invaluable. I don't care. You could have 1,000 tons of gold, and it's not worth what peace is, not real peace. Because real peace isn't dependent upon circumstances or physical things or anything in this world. Real peace is supernatural. And nobody can take it from you. And we need it. If you've never needed it, you will. And I'm not cursing you. It's just life. And we need Him. So we're not born of God. We're born of God. Okay, so here's what happens. I put down 5 points. Like your brother Jesus. I know it's hard. He's our Savior, yes. He's our God, yes. He's our brother, yes. Like your brother Jesus, you have purpose. You need to discover that purpose. Don't allow the world to put you in some scale of purpose. This is better purpose. This is the Lord's purpose. There's no. A purpose of God is equal everywhere as a son of God. We're sons and daughters of God. So every one of us have a purpose. We need to find our purpose. You matter. Well, did Jesus matter? Well, yeah, He mattered. He died for our sin. Well, but I don't matter because what am I? Well, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Just like Jesus. Well, I'm not. You don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. I know what He said. And I know what He did. Quit focusing on what you did and focus on what He did. He's your brother and your God. You are a man or a woman of destiny. So quit worrying about dying. Sometimes I think that way. I got scared driving the other day because I was really doing a bad job. I don't know why I was doing such a bad job. I just was. And I was driving back from Harrison, going through those curvy roads, and it was at night. And I'm like, man, I am really driving really poorly tonight. And I started to almost get afraid, like, rats, this could be the day. You know that old song when I was a teenager, there was a song about this is the day I die, you know? It's like I'm thinking, this could be the day that I die. Then I start singing the song, like, bad song, bad song. And then I thought, wait, I have a destiny. I have a destiny. And I know my destiny, and I believe my destiny outweighs any plans of the enemy. And you know what? I said, God, the devil, I was talking to the devil. I don't know who I was talking to. I was talking to some spirit or Jesus or somebody, but I'm like, you know what? I have a destiny, and I have a purpose, and it's not done yet, and so He can't kill me today. I don't care how bad a driver I am. And look, I'm here. I didn't die. Thank God, huh? I mean, I thank God. Y'all may not be thankful for God, but I thank Him. So you have a destiny. You have a purpose, right? Here's another one. You are special. Get ready for Tigger. I want to show y'all the best song in the world. You are special. I wanted to say the whole thing. And you're unique in the entire history of the world. I want to show y'all a beautiful song, okay? Did you play that, Daniel? I love Winnie the Pooh. I'm sorry. It's just, I like it. Thank you. I love Tigger. You guys don't, do y'all like Tigger? When, I don't know if Matthew remembers this and Daniel. I had a friend, Craig Lanfair. He had a little boy named James. James was like that big when he would come to our house. And we have that on a VHS tape. They used to put these tapes in a thing and play them, and that's what movies showed on. We had that on VHS tape. And that little boy would make me play that tape, and he would stand in front of the TV like 5 foot from it. And when Tigger jumped out, he'd go, he'd just shake like that. And then we have to play it over and over and over again. I'm like, you're killing me. But do you know what? That's what's true about Tigger is true about you. Like, you're a party waiting to happen. Now, y'all wouldn't believe that if you were standing up here looking at faces the way I am. You're a party waiting to happen. I mean, I'm not a very good party either. I mean, I'm mostly negative, but I can be positively negative. There is a positively negative. When I make fun of you, that's positively negative, because I'm really, that means I like you if I make fun of you, right? I mean, thank God I don't have red hair. I'm just glad. I'd just be glad for any hair at this point in my life. But, I didn't see Lexi back there. Alexi. Anyway, that distracted me. So here's the thing. You're created for this. The Holy Spirit reveals who you are as you begin to seek God. The Holy Spirit will use Scripture. The Holy Spirit will use prophetic people. He'll use your mom, your dad. He'll use the body of Christ to help you see who you really are. The truth is, you're all like Tigger. There's a party waiting to happen inside of you. And Jesus has invited us to a party. And I'm not going to read this whole scripture, but you can read it out of Luke 14. Jesus talks about parties. He talks about a festival. And he makes a point here, and he's talking to religious people. And he tells you how to invite people to a party. And right before this, he talks about how to go to a party. It's like, this is big for Jesus. If you're not having fun, you need to go home. That's what my grandson Jacob says sometimes. He's like, because Pastor Mohan and him said that. Listen, Jacob, if you're not having fun, go home. Well, guys, listen, if you're not having fun, you're probably missing something with him. Because he talks about festivals and banquets. He talks about you're special and you're needed. And you know, I read this down in verse 15 here. When they heard this, one of the dinner guests said to Jesus, "Someday God will have a kingdom feast, and how happy and privileged we will be the ones who get to share in that joy." The Jewish people didn't know that the Messiah was standing in the room. The party they were waiting to happen was talking to them. And they're He's inviting them into the party. When you read the rest of this passage, you find out. He said, Jesus said, let me tell you guys a story. There was a man who invited many people to join him in a great feast. You see, Jesus is inviting every one of us into the party. He's inviting you. You want to live your best life? Follow him. Be with him. Because where Jesus is where the party's at. And you know, it's funny when you go through this whole thing. Here's how you start the party. You start it by saying yes. Jesus, before any of us, before the world, before anything existed, Jesus said yes to his dad. Dad, you want me, your plan for a family is for me to be born a human and to live on earth 30 years fully as a human, totally submitting to humanity. And then you want me to die so humans can live with us. And what did Jesus say to his dad? It was a tough call. Jesus said yes. He said yes. And what happened when the angel came to Mary, Jesus' mother? The angel talked to Mary, and what did Mary say? She said a little over eight months ago, she said yes. 2,000 years ago. God said, Mary, I'm going to ask you to do something to let God come and dwell inside of you. And you're going to have a baby. And your baby's going to be the counselor. He's going to be wise. He's going to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be despised and rejected by men. And they're going to kill him. But then he's going to raise from the dead, and he's going to bring many, many brothers with him. And what did Mary say? I can't imagine. She was just a 15-year-old kid, maybe 14, 15. That girl said yes. Do you know how you start living with Jesus? Yes. Wait, don't I have to do something? No, it's all him. It's all him. It's no, religion makes you strive and work and stress. Religion deals with punishment and with, I wrote those words down because they always slip my mind. Jesus said yes to his Father. Jesus humbled himself. You know what it's going to take for you to live your best life? You're going to have to humble yourself. Yeah, but I don't need God. I'm making it pretty good. You might want to humble yourself, because you can't live with him without humbling yourself. By faith, Jesus accepted God's plan, God's path. And you know what happens when you say yes to God? Your yes becomes his power working inside of you. Your yes releases the power of God to accomplish the very thing you're saying yes to. Mary doesn't get any credit for what she did. It was God's power working inside of her because she said yes. Will you say yes to him? You see, and it's interesting. God sent his son to invite us to the party. Jesus came so we could come to the party, the banquet, the feast that God had prepared. All we have to do is say yes to him. And on Easter, you know, when you read the rest of this passage, when you read the rest of it, you know what happened. He invited the people to come to the party, and they all said no. Would y'all read that while I was talking? I wanted you to. God does everything for us. Everything's done. Quit trying to do stuff to get right with God. He did it all. He made the party. And then he invited them to come. But one by one, they all made excuses. They could have lived their best life. They could have had the best experience. It could have brought joy beyond anything they'd ever known. But they made excuses. They all had reasons they didn't say yes. What's your reason for not saying yes to Jesus? They all had reasons. He understands that. God understands. Another said, I purchased 5 teams of oxen. I need to make sure they can pull the plow. That's wise. Good planning. I can't come because I just got married. Well, that sounds logical. And their servant went back and he told God, they're not coming. He said, well, go invite everyone. Anyone you find, invite everybody. The poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, invite them all to my banquet. And he said, sir, I've done it, but there's still room for more. Then they said, oh, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. You see, God's inviting us to the party, and on Easter, we get to invite people to join us at the party. So we're having a party Easter morning. We're having a banquet. It'll be a feast. Most of us will overeat that day. It'll be fun. and people will experience the presence of God, and our kids will have fun, and we'll honor people, we'll love people, we'll worship together, and we'll have a good time, just like Jesus is talking about. But you know what? We're the ones who invite people to come to this party. And he wants us to invite our family. He wants you to invite your friends. And he wants you to invite the poor and the blind and the homeless and the beggars, the people that don't get invited to anything. Guys, we get a chance this week to experience God in a really special way. I wanted to do this. I'm not going to do it. We're done. But being a part of the inviters, being a part of the people that throw the party, is more fun than coming to the party. It'll bring you something in here that'll give you life. And you know what happens? I say to you all, verse 24, the one who receives an invitation to the feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet. Listen, I want to enjoy the banquet. I want to live my best life. How do you do that? Come to his party. Follow him. Say yes. And that'll be your best life. So Easter's coming. You can't stop it. It's been happening for 2,000 years. And it's coming in 3 weeks. We're going to have Easter. We're going to celebrate Easter again. But Easter's all about God coming in here. It's all about us coming and becoming a part of one with him, is what John 14 says. So this morning, I just want to know, are you saying yes? Are you complaining? Are you being a victim? You know, it's hard. It's not easy to say yes. But God, I want more. God wants to give you more. But it happens this way. When we humble ourselves and we come before him with nothing in our mouth but a yes. Nothing but a yes, God. And you'll see, you'll experience something the world's never seen before. God wants to rise inside of our hearts. He wants to live inside of us. So guys, I'm excited about Easter. I'm excited about getting ready for this. And Dana Wessel's preparing all the stuff. But she's just going to be telling us what we get to do to contribute. And I'm not cooking for it. Y'all will be happy I'm not. But I'll be doing other stuff. I'll do the part I can do. And really, I'll be telling jokes and bringing the party, so it'll be fun. Do y'all know, what do you call a cow you find laying on the dirt beside the road? Yes, ground beef. Did you say that, Camille? Who? I don't know. Who said it? David, oh, okay. I just want to know. Y'all stole my thunder. That's okay. I'm humble. I don't have to be the funny one. So let's follow Jesus. Listen, he's inviting you to a party. I know right now I would like to say, well, if you don't come to the banquet, you're going to get killed and destroyed and all that stuff. But, you know, verse 24 says here that you're just not going to have any fun. Don't you want to have fun? Joy, peace, love. You see, that comes from walking in the light. It doesn't come from anything on this earth. It comes from him. So let's all stand up if we could. We're going to have a ministry time. And it's a big deal that Jesus wants to meet us here. And he wants to hear your yes. And when you say yes, his power takes over. Okay? So let's pray. And we'll be dismissed, and we have ministry teams up here. I'd like to pray with you, okay? So, God, I just thank you for what you're doing right now, for every point. Jesus, I ask that you would just open our eyes, that we could see anywhere in our lives where we're not saying yes to you. God, I just know that's a big deal. Jesus, would you just reveal to us any area where you want us to see that we're not saying yes? Amen. So let's say yes today, okay? Just say yes to Him and see what happens. All right? All right. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming this morning. And let's get ready for Easter. Y'all can sign up in the foyer for helping. All right. We're done.